Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 21. And while you do that, I'll bring out an object lesson that goes along with that. Exodus 21. All of you see that. All right. Exodus 21. Any idea what we're going to be speaking on here this morning?
A slave.
A slave. Okay. So if you turn to Exodus 21, if you would stand and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Exodus 21. And let me turn to it. Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. And we have a very interesting account here. Verse 1. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve you 6 years. And in the seventh year he shall go out free and pay nothing. And if he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, just a few books on back, chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15. Verses 12 to 17. Pretty much the same account here. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also, to your female servant, you shall do likewise. Thank you. You may be seated. Very interesting story here. Very interesting account. So I wonder how this would have looked and how all this took place. I don't know. But maybe, just maybe, it looked something like this. So, servant Quentin, would you please come to my house? Yes, servant.
Master.
You have been with me for 6 years.
Yes, sir.
And I have so appreciated all you have done for me. We're at the 6-year point, and you may go free. I have many things to give to you. All that you will need, I will give to you as you leave. Thank you for your time and all the blessings you have been to me. May God bless you.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to.
You don't want to go?
I don't want to go. You've been so kind to me.
You want to stay here in this house where you've been the last 6 years?
Yeah. Yeah, why would I want anything?
Why? What have I done?
I love you. I want to serve you.
Do you understand the implications
Yes.
If you stay.
Yes. You give me a good life. I want to stay here. I want to.
This would be forever.
Yes, I know.
But you're willing to do that?
Yes, sir.
You're willing to go to the judges?
Yes, sir.
And do this properly?
Yes, sir.
You understand what happens here?
Yes, sir. What more do I want? I want to serve you.
Well,
it's been my life.
We will go to the judges. We'll take care of that. The next point is this. So step forward.
Which one?
The right ear. All right. You're my servant forever. I look forward with working with you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, I don't know how they did it, but that's the way. You have a picture of maybe what it looks like, and we'll leave that there for you to have a visual of that. I'm sure it was much more in-depth and much more real and pain inflicted and some blood. I don't know how all that looked. But this is a ritual that did take place and did happen. Just a bit of a background here. This was children of Israel, just as they came out of slavery from Egypt and were now having slaves of their own. They were just given the Ten Commandments just prior to this, and right following the Ten Commandments here, God instructs them on this issue of slavery and having slaves in their home. So what can we learn from this today? So we can look at this and we can say, well, that was for them back then. But I believe that all that has happened in Scripture is for us today, and we can understand that, I think, as we look into it. The whole ceremony seems a bit strange, doesn't it? Why the piercing? Why a door or a doorway? Why the ear? You could ask other questions. But there's types here again that point to the Lord Jesus. Just stop and think a bit of some of the main points or the main principle that kind of comes out of this story. And just think about some of the things that you see right here. A hammer. And just let your mind now kind of go to different types in Scripture. A hammer. Nails. Some type of a nail here. Blood on the doorway. Where did your mind go? Permanent piercing with holes and scars forever. A voluntary commitment. Bought with a price. These slaves were purchased. Bought with a price. And as we talk about some of these, I think we start seeing a bigger picture of what all this is pointing to. We see how that these aspects definitely point to Jesus, and I believe is for us today in our commitment. We want to just look at some of these points here and then make some applications for us today. The all that is mentioned here is mentioned twice in Scripture from what I could find. And an all is something that is used to punch holes through something. That is the main purpose of an all. And I made this little all. I have no idea what the awl looked like, but I believe it was more than a little needle. I believe it was something that put a pretty good sized hole into the ear. I don't know what size, but it was more than just a prick, I would imagine. Because this was an outward sign of ownership, recognition of who they were owned by. Slaves and soldiers in those days were branded or marked on their bodies, different parts of their bodies, through different ways. And they did this to show what general they were working for or who was their master. So this type of thing was done. But in this case, this was the method and the ear was used. By piercing the skin, this brought about a hole or a scar, of course, that would have been left there for life. And that was the whole point of doing this. Something that was permanent. Something that when someone seen that person that had been through this doorway and that had made that choice, they knew where they belonged. Galatians 6:17 says it like this. Paul says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." We don't know what all those marks were, but more than likely these marks that Paul was talking about were scars and marks of persecution, of being beaten or stoned, whips or whatever that may have been. Jesus, of course, is our ultimate example of servanthood and of carrying scars on his body. John 20:19-20 says like this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So here, the Lord Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and they seen the scars from the nails that pierced his hands. Now the question for us today is, what sign do we carry? What sign do you carry that you are owned by the Lord Jesus and that you're living in the Master's house? Do you carry signs? We don't have to walk through this doorway and have our ears pierced. We don't do that method today. But shouldn't we be carrying some type of a sign that people understand who our Master is? And I think today Christians are really quick. We hear it. We're very quick to say, "Oh, well, it's not so much an outward sign that we're after. You know, it's the heart. It's the heart that matters." And I would say that that answer is correct. It is the heart. The heart is what matters. Let me follow up with a question. What happens if the heart is really the matter? What happens if you take that awl and that hammer and you drive that awl through a beating heart? Just tell me what happens. Does the heart keep on going? It stops, right? That heart will stop and will stop forever unless a miracle takes place I don't even know if a surgery could take care of it. But that's what happens. The heart stops. And I believe today, for the Christian who chooses to be a bondservant, we may not have to walk through the door and have our ear pierced, but we do have to have our hearts driven through with this all so that our fleshly heart, our natural heart, dies. And then Christ gives us a new heart. And when that new heart is within us, then we will show on the outside what is on the inside. We understand that. And I thought about demonstrating that with a sponge. You know, you fill a sponge with whatever you want. You can put water in it and you squeeze it, water is going to come out. You put anything else in it, that is what's going to come out when that sponge is squeezed. So what's in the heart will come out. What does your piercing or your scar look like? Is it something that people can see? It doesn't have to be a physical scar, but it needs to be something that draws people to the Lord Jesus when they are around you and hear you and experience your presence. So that was the point there that we said, why the piercing? And so maybe that some of these points are why the piercing was to take place back then, was to point us to something better. Next, we asked the question, why the ears? And I asked the question, why not the ears? What better place to brand someone or to put a hole in so that everybody else sees it than the ear? I don't know where else you would put it that would be so evident. I don't know why the ear exactly, but it seemed like it was a proper place. If we want, why don't we read in Leviticus, turn in your Bibles to to Leviticus. And let's go to Leviticus chapter 8, starting, and we'll move then to another chapter. But we're looking at here now the subject of why the ears. And we'll find a very interesting account here in Leviticus where it talks about ears again. Right? Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Notice, at the door. What do we have here? We have a door. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, go in that same chapter to verse 22. And he brought the second ram. Now, here is what's taking place. And he brought the second ram, and the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also, he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Very interesting account. Here, Aaron and his sons are being consecrated to the work of the Lord. So, we notice the doorway that it talked about, where they met. We also notice the blood now of the ram that was applied to the ear, along with other parts of the body that it talked about. Now, let's turn in Leviticus, a few chapters back, go to Leviticus 14. And we'll read verses 1 through 4, Leviticus 14, 1 through 4. This is a ritual now for cleansing healed lepers. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Now, in that same chapter, verses 14 through 20, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil in his hands, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness after he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Here's an account of lepers that were healed, but now they had to go through this type of a cleansing. And so we see here some of the same things going on here as the servant had to go through. You notice that it talks about the scarlet. The scarlet here that's talking about was more than likely like a cloth or something that was used. But the scarlet represents, of course, the blood, the color of blood. And the hyssop that is talking about to apply, this same hyssop was used to apply the blood over the door lintels of when the children of Israel left Egypt. So you just see some of those parallels that are, I feel, so beautiful. And then, of course, you see how the ears were a part of this ceremony. The priests were made holy to the Lord by having blood applied to the ear, to the thumb, and to their toe. Leprosy that we're talking about here is a type of sin in the Bible. cleansed and atoned for by the blood, to the same places of the body, followed by anointing of oil. The ear was part of this as well. Interesting, as you think about that. Leprosy being a type of sin, now they were healed, but and it went through this atoning process, and here it involves the ear. So our hands signify our deeds and the things we do. Our feet represent our walk, where we go, and things like that. And our ears, I believe, would represent our obedient hearing and obeying our master. Who is your master? It is a picture of our lives being thoroughly cleansed and consecrated to God. Sin is atoned for, and now the body is ready for service. The ear is open now to hear the master's bidding at any time, to go anywhere, to do anything for the rest of their life. Why the ear? Don't know fully, but possibly because of some of these points. We asked a question, why the door? What's significant about the door? Why couldn't have they went to somewhere else on the property? The idea of taking the servant to a door in order to carry out this whole operation is very, very interesting. A door is a passageway. It's a place that allows us to go from one environment to another, one room to another. We understand what doorways are used for. There's a beautiful picture of doors in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament. John 10, 1 and 2 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." And then later, in that same chapter, verses 7 to 9, it says this, "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." I am this door right here, this doorway. There is only one doorway. And I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago we talked about a door that entered into the ark. There was only one door that went into the ark, and that is where they had to go through to be saved. Verse 8, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I think the reason they had to go to the door was just because of this. It was pointing to Jesus, the only doorway that we have to salvation. And when we think of door frames, our minds go back to the Exodus, that when the children of Israel left Egypt. And we think of the doorway there that the blood was applied to. And as they left out of their bondage, they walked through that doorway now into a complete different covenant with God. And they were willing to go. They wanted to go and to follow God's commandments. Were they faithful all the way through? No, they struggled. Blood on the doorpost was one of the most probably memorable aspects of that story of the children of Israel, how they took that blood and put it over the doorpost. And here we have a bit of that picture here through this piercing of the ear. Of course, I'm sure not near the amount of blood, but still that picture is there. So you combine all of this, the blood of the Messiah from his pierced flesh on the cross, the blood of the Passover lambs on the door lintels that we just spoke of, and now the blood of the slave who, for love, agrees to serve his master willingly. It all points to the Lord Jesus. Another aspect of this ceremony of piercing the ears was that it was voluntary. I think I mentioned that earlier. This was something that was completely voluntary. The servant was able to go free, but it was because of a voluntary commitment that he chose. If he wanted to, he could choose to stay. It was not anything that was forced upon him. Think of it in this way. If you would have
people working for you, or we would have slaves in our homes. Thank God we don't. But if that would be the situation and you would have people working for you, would you want slaves that would just despise you and wish they could be somewhere else and would just hate their experience with you? Would you want that type of a slave working for you? Or would you rather have a slave that cares about you, that wants to honor you, that wants to do your biddings, that wants to make you happy? Of course, we understand and we know who would work best for us. This is what our Master, the Lord Jesus, wants from each one of us. He wants us to make that voluntary commitment. It's much nicer having someone working for you and he voluntarily, or they voluntarily say, "Can I do this for you?" rather than being forced into it, and they do it with a bad attitude. We all know what that's like. God wants us to voluntarily ask for this piercing. Another aspect of this story I think is beautiful is that these Hebrew slaves were purchased and were paid for. There was a price that was paid for them. And now they could go free. The Lord Jesus had paid a price for each one of us. For each one in the world, the price has been paid. We only need to commit and to walk through this doorway. What does a willing servant look like? Maybe we can get practical now. What does a willing servant look like? Turn your Bibles to John 12. John 12, we're going to read two verses there. John 12, verses 25 to 26. As we think of a willing servant, and I would say probably most of us here have had this experience where we have chosen to live with the Master. But there's times where we forget some of those commitments and things that we have made. But here is what a willing servant looks like. John 12, 25 and 26. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Just a beautiful picture of a servant just following and being there wherever his master is. A willing servant will obey. A willing servant will respect. A willing servant will honor his master. A willing servant will tell others who he is working for and about his master. A willing servant will be willing to do the dirty work, whatever that is. No matter what the work is, he's willing and ready. A willing servant will put himself last and take care of others ahead of him. The master is first and foremost in his life. A willing servant will relate and communicate with his master as things come up and misunderstandings or something happens they don't feel good about. Whatever it is, there is an open communication that the servant speaks with the master. He wants everything to be clear. A willing servant pleases his master. And a willing servant, and we could go on, but a willing servant will be willing to carry the scars, whatever that may be, because of that master. Whatever mark that master asks him to carry, he will be willing to carry it. What could these scars be for you today? What could they be for me? We're not going to have a hole pierced through our ear, but we may have some other scars. Here are what some of these scars could look like. It could be the loss of a family ties or friendships because of your decision to serve this master. That may be a scar that some of you have had to take. As you walk through this door and you've chosen to serve your master, maybe you lost some family ties. It could be a thorn in the flesh that the master wants you to live with so that he can keep your relationship, so that he can keep your attention. Maybe the master is asking you to carry something that has been difficult, but he's doing that for your good. Are you willing to keep that scar and to carry that? It could be untruth told against you because of your commitment to serve this master. None of us like to have things spread about us that are untrue. But maybe that is something that has happened, and maybe no one knows differently. It could be imprisonment because of this master, literally. Where is Ken Miller sitting right now? Isn't this because he chose to walk through this door? It could be a trial that you are facing. Because when we're facing a trial, it's because the master of this house has allowed that trial to come into your life for a reason. That could be a scar that is difficult for you to accept. 1 Peter 1:7 says it like this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There will be trials, there will be scars as we walk through this doorway. According to scriptures, there are two masters. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and Satan. We don't go in and out of this doorway. We're either in or we're out. I think that's the point here that we want to understand. Imagine a servant that would supposedly belong to you, but every day he's out working for the neighbor man down the road. What kind of a servant is that? It will not work. We serve only one master. Who is your master? I think what's important is that we have gone through this door and we have had our ears pierced. Of course, not figuratively, but spiritually. We have asked Jesus into our heart. We have made that verbal commitment. And once this has happened, let's not forget who our master is. Serving him, regardless of the scars that may come with that, the difficulties, the roughness, whatever it is, that is what the master has given to you, each one of us. What does your commitment look like? Are you still committed? Can we truly say, and Jonathan has a song he's going to prepare to play over the system here. Can we truly say, like the song, I will serve you eternally, a free man I'll never be. What is freedom? Sometimes we think of freedom as out on our own, independent life. Here's what true freedom is. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Having been set free from sin, that's true freedom. And that only comes by having our ears pierced. Not figuratively, but having Jesus in our hearts, walking through this doorway, making that commitment. True freedom is only found once the awl has pierced your ear and you have entered the Master's house. We'll kneel in prayer and just be quiet and listen to the words of the song that we'll hear. Let's kneel.
Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I
for your word. We thank you that you have given us a doorway to walk through. We thank you for Jesus and for the shed blood on Calvary. And I pray that each one of us would be willing, if we haven't, to walk through this doorway. And those of us that have, to refresh in our minds this commitment of serving you eternally. Not looking at the freedoms outside of this master's house, but to stay within it in the safety of it. To serve you, to honor you, to respect you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the times where we have failed and you're willing to take us back. So most of all, God, I pray that we would refresh our commitment to follow you, to carry the scars, whatever that may be, and to share your love with those that we are around throughout the week. So we commit ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.